This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for the Falcons Report.
Whoa!
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked! Brady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh, my heavens.
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. Dukes and Tribble today because Rob Tribble is in from Mike Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey man. Thank you, Rob, for joining in the festivities. Mike Bell had a procedure today.
Well. Got a text. Woke up. A little groggy. He's all right.
Yeah, man. They basically, and he'll tell you more tomorrow, but they stuck a tube down his throat. They wanted to make sure everything was looking fine, and he had been having some issues with some acid reflux and whatnot, but looks like everything's cool, so we'll wait to hear from him tomorrow. But he did hit us up and basically say, yeah, man, I'm waking up. They put me under. But as you said, Rob, anytime they're sticking something down your throat, yeah, I don't, not cool.
Or your urethra.
That's true. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Hit us up, 404-741-0929. That's our Salome Brothers 9-minute text line. If you're just jumping in today, where you been, man? Show starts at 2. That means you've already missed our conversation with Matt Bosher, punter for our Atlanta Falcons. You'll hear more from him coming up at 520 as part of our strong arm story of the day.
Nice guy.
Yeah, he really was, man. I mean, you know, the injury sucks, but he is really a cool dude. And then you also miss Bruce Feldman, a college football analyst who helped Rob and I break down the Georgia loss and what else is going on in and around college football.
Got that gravelly voice.
And then Darren Eales came in, president of Atlanta United, and basically said, this Miles Robinson injury sucks. And again, I'm paraphrasing. He basically did say that because we got a big playoff match on Saturday.
Threw a little shade. He totally did.
Yeah, man. I mean, why do you have
Why are you having him running sprints that's after it. Again? I know he didn't play much, but why?
Yeah.
That's absurd.
Training at 11 o'clock at night, it's questionable. I get it. As I asked Darren, and if you want to go listen to the interview, it's online. Who's responsible? He wouldn't point a finger, but the squad.
But he did.
His squad is definitely disappointed. Well, listen, I mean, you take Miles Robinson out of the equation, okay, and we're going to get to the Falcons here in a second. I'm going to tell you one thing they've got to do if things are going to turn around. He arguably has been our best player this year.
Yeah. It's like Hawks without Trae Young.
So it's a big deal.
Let's take Julio out of the Falcons lineup.
We know how that goes. So he's got a hamstring. He's day-to-day. We'll see where that goes. We are live inside of the Kia studios. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. All right, Tribble, let's talk about these Falcons. I asked you today as we started off, you know, how do you fix this? And the thing that is plaguing the Falcons, and it's not just recently. This has kind of been the MO all season long. But when you look at our defense, the thing that has to change is over the past two games, we've allowed opponents to score basically 13 of 14 possessions before finally getting three consecutive stops.
What is it? Third down conversions are like 60% or something like that. They can't get off the field.
So we got those three consecutive stops against the Cardinals, and everybody's like, what? Because it didn't look right. Because we've allowed teams to just go down the field whoop, and score. Here's the thing. We've surrendered 138 points, okay, during this four-game losing streak. 138 points. We're giving up 34.5 points a game. That's 35 points a game.
I mean, that's being dominant. That's kind of like what the Japanese did to China, invading Manchuria back in 1936.
So what the Falcons have to do is they got to stop giving up these explosive plays. That's what's killing us.
How about get to the quarterback?
But that's the other thing. I mean, it's one thing to say we're giving up way too many explosive plays. You know, we've allowed teams to basically go down and score 13 or 14 possessions before you got three consecutive stops in the Cardinals game on Sunday, which we ultimately end up losing. This is what has to stop. Now, how do you stop it? You got to get pressure.
Yeah, how do you get pressure? It's Grady Jarrett and everybody else.
Well, you got Vic Beasley.
Oh, yeah. What's the sack count? They're 1.5. Is that what it is?
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. You got tack.
Plant your flag on Mount Beasley, Dan Quinn. That could spell your demise, my friend.
I mean, come on. You got tack, McKinley. You got Vic Beasley. Come on.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. I understand, though. You're hesitant to get rid of the first guy you ever drafted. You know, there's a sentimental thing to that. That's the first guy you ever drafted. So that's why he's back again, and he hasn't been effective yet. Oh, didn't he bat down a pass? He tipped a pass the other day.
He also got a penalty. I mean, come on. Not only has he been – yeah, he got two penalties. Thank you. Mm. Not only has he been ineffective – Mike, I mean, Triple, he had one tackle. He had one tackle.
Carl, you and I could sit out there with cocktails in our hands and get more than one tackle.
That's what I'm saying. Action will just come to you. It'll fall into you. Tackle.
Yeah, you could pile jump like Keith Brooking used to do.
All right. So how do you stop this? What do you do? Let's hear from Dan Quinn talking about the pass rush and the coverage. As much as we've been complaining about some of the DBs, and it looks like to me Sheffield's going to be a starter, by the way. Isaiah Oliver's
played
out.
Well. That was a highlight the other day.
Isaiah Oliver out, Sheffield in. Okay? And my thing with Sheffield was, and maybe it was a scheme thing, still we're giving too much up, right? We were in the first half to allow these guys to throw 5, 6, 7, 8 yard passes, which got Kyler Murray in the rhythm. And then in the second half, we went man-to-man, obviously, a little bit
clearly
more.
Mobile quarterbacks give this team fits.
Big time. But that was my issue with Sheffield. And I was judging him solely on what I was watching in the first half. So Dan Quinn comes out and says, listen, I think he was really good. And yesterday in his teleconference, and I think he alluded to it with Art, that he's going to stay with what's working right now. And it sounds like Sheffield is in and Isaiah Oliver's out. The thing about that is Isaiah Oliver was a second-round pick, and you said he was supposed to be a starter for you this year. With that said, here's Dan Quinn talking about pass rush and the coverage.
Yeah, all three of them did. Yes, we played a lot of nickel. But I think what I can tell you is that we've displayed the energy and the effort, but it still has to be about the execution, Vaughn. And that part, that execution there from start to finish. And it could be the rush technique versus, the coverage that's there, the coverage when it's good to make sure it allows the rush to get there.
So he's talking to Vaughn, obviously, on the press conference. That was the teleconference. Vaughn McClure from ESPN asking him about the pass rush and the coverage. And it does go hand-in-hand. I don't care how good you're – Deion, okay, prime time, couldn't cover for 20 seconds.
No.
Okay? And I'm over-exaggerating, but I don't care who you are. Running around and behind and trying to cover a guy for 8 seconds is hard. I don't care who you are. So problem is these guys are back there. They've got all day, Rob Tribble, and now you're going, okay – well, how do we get more pressure? He's afraid to bring blitzes because your one-on-one matchups have not been favorable. And when they did, all you got to do is go back and listen to Deshaun Watson when they played the Texans. We went man. We brought blitzes. Will Fuller had 800 yards, So, yeah, I don't know what you do here.
That's personnel. Clearly that's personnel then, if you can't do that. Isn't it?
Yeah. And who's in charge of that?
Well, there's a couple of guys. Who has ultimate veto power? Dan Quinn.
404-741-0929. What do you guys think? Dirk Koetter speaking to the media as well. Today is a Falcon off day, by the way. Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's. As always, we'll tell you about the Domino's special coming up here in a second. But Dirk Koetter talking about a fast start and then a lull, and then we picked it back up. And he's right. We got the ball. We go down and score. I'm like, yeah. Then nothing. And then in the second half, you picked it back up.
It's good to get off to a fast start. We needed to maintain it better. We went through a little bit of a lull there in the first half between some penalties and some self-inflicted errors. We hurt ourselves there in the middle of the first half. But then the first drive, that was excellent to get off to a fast start. And then second half, we had it rolling pretty good.
What do you think about the play of Austin Hooper, by the way?
Isn't it amazing what he is now compared to a couple of years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I you know what, Carl? I'm going to take full credit for that.
You are?
That first year, his rookie year when he kind of had skill at hands, I went on the air every day that I went on, and I begged him, Jugs Machine, catch 1,000 balls a day. And I think he listened to me. He's been wonderful.
He's been great. Here's Dirk Koetter, the offensive coordinator, talking about Hoop.
Hoop has been extremely consistent in his level of play for like the third week in a row. After we watched the tape, I'm saying I think Hoop just played his best game. I've been saying that to myself and with the other coaches for the last 3 weeks.
So if you're wondering why that sounds like two tin cans and a string, because I know you're in your car or wherever you're accessing the show going to.
Yelling down a long vacant hallway.
Yeah, what the hell is up with this sound? It was a teleconference. I know you may not be aware that they still have those, but it's a teleconference. So our microphones, for that matter, no one's really was in the face of these coaches as they spoke yesterday. Last thing from Dirk Cutter here talking about Freeman. Are you for Free? Do you think Free has turned the corner now? Where are you with Devontae Freeman and this running back situation?
You know, I don't know. The second I feel like he's going to turn the corner, he's going to get hurt again. That's what I think about with him. And that just worries me. You know, that just worries me. But I have zero complaints about the offense. If you score 30 points in an NFL game, you're supposed to win.
Supposed to win.
And they've done it back-to-back week. So the NFL is the Falcons' offense has certainly been perfectly fine. Matt Ryan played brilliantly on Sunday, if you ask me. Back-to-back weeks of 30-plus points, you should win that game.
Here's Dirk on Free.
Free had a really nice game. He ran hard. He ran through on tackles. He was, of course, a threat in the passing game. He did a good job in pass protection. We have no complaints about the way he played.
So if you break this down, got to stop giving up explosive plays.
Falcons, get off the field on third down.
That's it. Falcons did this back-to-back weeks. We did it against the Texans. We did it against the Arizona Cardinals. We gave up a play of 50 yards or more. Back-to-back weeks. So, you know, those things, man, that's the stuff. That's the minutia. We can talk about all this other stuff. That's what's killing this 1-5 football team right now.
Mobile quarterbacks are killing this football team right now. When Jacoby Brissett goes out and goes 16 for his first 16, and we saw what Deshaun Watson did when they scored 53 points, Kyler Murray's a player, isn't he? Great arm, too. He still looks like he's 5'7" out there, though, doesn't he? He looks tiny.
Yeah, he's an itty-bitty guy. But you know what? That arm has always been in place. That's what got him recruited coming out of high
school.
Baseball player. Yeah. Hey, man, Falcon Report brought to you by our friends at Domino's. You can find a variety of different things to listen to, obviously, on the radio, guys. Domino's Mix and Match menu for just $5.99 each when you order two or more. You can get things like crispy bread twist, the gooey marbled cookie brownies, oven-baked sandwiches, medium two-topping pizza, and more. You can carry out and have it all delivered for just $5.99. The choice is yours when you choose Domino's. Go to Domino's.com. Rob Tribble in for Mike Bell today. We've been having a lot of fun, man, and the fun's going to continue. Rob Tribble asked Matt Bosher a very interesting question. We're going to let you hear what Bosher's response was, the punter for our football team. Now, he's out. He's been injured, but he's still around the squad. He's still got the vibe. Wait to hear what Bosher has to say.
Hard-hitting, pointed question.
About our football team. Dukes and Bell brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Da-da, da-da. It is Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble in from Mike today. Mike will be back tomorrow, by the way. You know, Tribbs, we were talking about what it takes to win in the National Football League, and we're going to get back into this here as part of our strong arm story of the day. I want to take you back to Matt Bosher, who came in studio with us today and it was in studio for, you know, talking about a charity that he's a part of and the Falcons support, obviously. But we were asking him about some other things, and I asked him about his Super Bowl experience, not the L, but just being a player and being able to experience that. And he was talking about the 2 weeks and were incredible. But he said something that was very interesting to me, and he talked about Dan Quinn. He called it championship prep, and you just heard a promo with Julio Jones just saying the same thing. Okay, and different coaches call it different things. But as you prepare week in and week out, championship prep, preparation, preparing as if this is the big game. And he said, we went into the Super Bowl, and I don't know if we felt as good as we've ever felt as a team. If you go back and watch the first half, I think that's obvious. Oh, yeah. You know, the Robert Alford interception.
That's where I thought, oh, they got this.
You thought, all right, you know, everything is falling into place. And, boy, were we prepared. It was what we talked about all Super Bowl week, and I was all over the place, Tribble. We went back to Houston, and people from all over the country, how good is this Falcon team? Because people really weren't paying attention. And they had known about Matt Ryan, but I said, listen, this team is playing great and blah, blah, blah. And then they hear Bosher come in here and talk about the fact that, you know, from a preparation standpoint, they were as ready as they could have been. But it came down to the second half and clock management, and we all know that now. What I'm getting to, guys, is – what's changed? That's the same Dan Quinn. That's the same guy that's allegedly getting his players ready to get ready on a Sunday. What's changed?
I don't know. I just feel so I'm just like cynical and skeptical right now. I think about Guns N' Roses, actually. 1993, they came out with a spaghetti incident. We had to wait 15 years for another album. Chinese Democracy. Is it going to take 15 years for this team to be relevant again?
You won't stop, will you? You really reached in and pulled that one out. It is Dukes and Bell. There has been an underlining theme on this program.
China.
If you're not paying attention. So, but what's the difference? I mean, honestly, what is the difference? And I don't know if there is. Let's get to the strong arm story.
The strong arm story of the day is brought to you by John Foy and Associates Personal Injury Law.
All right, let us let you hear Matt Bosher, our kicker, when Tribble asked him about whether or not Dan Quinn has lost this football team.
I completely disagree. I understand where a fan from the outside might see it that way, but wholeheartedly this team backs him and backs every other coach in there. We're in there all day, every day together. The brotherhood isn't, you know, just some lip service that we do. Like, it's legitimate. Everybody feels that way. Everybody has each other's back. You can see it week in and week out on the field, you know, win, lose, or draw. Everybody, if somebody has a mistake, somebody comes off, and everybody's there for them. And it starts from the top down. That's not just something that happened in the locker room. That's something that DQ fosters every single day.
Is he trying to convince himself or us?
I think he's trying to explain that this is the environment, the atmosphere. If you were to be plucked and put in to Flowery Branch, bloop, and just were able to observe, not being a player or an executive, you were just there. Let's just say you're the invisible man, and you're just able to walk around and observe, and you're plucked and put into that environment. He's trying to tell you this is what you would see. Listen, I'm not there. I can't disagree with Bosher. I don't know. What I do know is the results are not there, Tribble.
They're not there. And you've basically been healthy. Keanu O'Neill, that injury is huge. That's a huge blow. We get that. But teams survive that all the time and thrive a lot of times. A lot of teams are able to do that. Falcons just can't seem to do it.
We talked about this a little bit earlier in the show. It is Dukes and Bell. Rob Tribble in for Mike. It is our strong arm story of the day. Coming up, Mike Conte, in case you missed it, we have our top three at 6, and we'll talk some college football in the 6 o'clock hour as well. Good stuff. You don't want to miss it. I brought up the fact that there are some things you need to consistently win in the National Football League. Doesn't matter if you're the Cowboys, if you're the Cardinals, if you're the Rams, who's coming in here this weekend. It doesn't matter if you're San Francisco, who seems like they might be a Super Bowl team right now, or if you're Tampa Bay and your quarterback just threw 5 picks over the weekend and you're wondering, is he a franchise guy? And he's not.
No. Final year of his rookie deal as well.
But if you have these things, and I want to go back over this list with you, Rob, and let you decide again what we have and what we don't have. If you have 3 or 4 of these, you're a really good team. If you've got all of them, you're a playoff team and you got a chance at a Super Bowl. Quarterback.
Yes, they do have a good quarterback.
Okay, so we got that. Check. Do we have the culture?
I don't know. As a culture eroded, that's what inspired my question to Bosher.
I know. And if you hear Bosher, you would think that the culture is still there, but the results aren't there where they should be. So it makes you wonder. I'll put a question mark by that one. Great players?
Oh, yes. Several.
See, I agree with you. And I think a lot of people go, oh, these players suck.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
We got a
for some reason they're not put in a position to win schematically.
Yes, we got a bunch of good players, and for that matter, I think great players.
Certainly good enough to get to the playoffs on paper, but you don't get to the playoffs on paper.
Right. All right. Is there buy-in?
See, that's what I wonder. I was starting to think maybe the team could possibly check out. They played hard on Sunday. That's buy-in. They played hard on Sunday. They played with some pride, even though they got down late, and they're looking at their season, circling the drain. They fought back and were missed extra point away from tying the ball game. And who knows what would have happened? Well, I kind of have a feeling what would have happened in overtime, unfortunately.
Okay,
they probably would have given up an explosive play in overtime, right?
A 50-yarder.
But buy-in, I think think they're clinging to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Last thing. Well, actually, there's 2 more things. Coach. You got to have a great head coach.
He's not a great head coach.
Okay. So let me ask you this. Freddie Kitchens, and I brought this up earlier, took over the Browns job. I don't know what Freddie Kitchens is going to be, okay?
Yeah, year one, give him a chance.
You got to give guys a chance. The thing for Dan Quinn is he's now been on the job, this is going into year 5, 4 years. you don't view him as a good or great coach? Because that's a huge element in the National Football League. That's why you have so much turnover. Everybody's trying to find that great coach. Mm-hmm. But you can't do it in year one. You've got to give guys a 3 to 4 year period where you start to get a feel exactly for what you're getting. We are going in a year for this is year five. Dan Quinn's not a great coach.
You know what baffles me is the fact that he strikes me guy. You see, he strikes me guy with wonderful interpersonal skills. I think he's a good psychologist.
Okay.
Right?
And you need a little bit of that.
You absolutely do. So it seems like he'd be smart enough to address whatever his shortcomings have been, but it seems like we've seen them repeat over and over. And now this year he really stepped in it by taking over the defense. The defense has been putrid.
So no.
No.
Okay, so we got a quarterback. Tribble says no head coach. We got a little bit of buy-in, but the brotherhood's supposed to be what that's about. We have great players. Check. Culture, we're not sure. Mm-hmm. Scheme?
Clearly, no. Offensively, yeah. Back-to-back 30-point weeks, yeah. But defensively, no.
Okay. Last thing, guys. And if you have all of these things, you win in the National Football League. It's why it's so hard. It's not just about having great players. It's about all this other stuff.
Does other teams have great players, too?
That's it. Adaptability, Rob Tribble. Because change happens.
Yes.
Injuries happen. How do you adapt in this league keeps you competitive?
I haven't seen it with this team.
Neither have I.
When you see the same mistakes repeated over and over, they had all those injuries last year. They certainly weren't able to adapt. You ended up not making the playoffs, and that's a catastrophic thing to deal with, but it didn't seem like they adapted.
Okay.
Right?
So we've got a few. We don't have all, and we know that by the way the team's playing. The team that has all of this, you want to name it? Patriots.
The evil empire.
They got the quarterback. They got the coach. They buy in. Mm-hmm. Guys that aren't even there who get there buy in.
Immediately buy in. Immediately pay dividends, too.
They've had.
That's the brilliance of Belichick.
And continue to have great players. The scheme, for whatever it is worth, they're not paying their top defensive player $85, $75, $105 million. Go
no,
look.
No, never do.
Okay.
They never pay anybody up there.
Scheme works. Culture's there. And adaptability. When guys go away, it doesn't hurt them. They don't have Gronk this year. Has it slowed them down any bit?
No. Their tight end play has been a little limited, but they just compensate elsewhere. Now your defense is so much better, so that kind of helps with the cushion the blow of the loss of Gronk.
There are other teams that have this, but that's the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few of these things. And when we went to the Super Bowl, I want you to think about it. The perception of our football team, whether you believe it or not, we had all of that.
Yeah.
That's what we're missing.
Even the following year when you got to the playoffs.
That's right.
And won a playoff game. Should have won the next one against the Eagles.
So it is up to Coach Quinn to get some of this stuff back. The buy-in happens, I think, as you win. To Tribble's point. You start to win. Let's just say we win against the Rams and Seahawks. Yeah. All of a sudden, you start to feel that buy-in a little bit more.
You just got to win the damn game Sunday. You can't go 7-0 with a victory on Sunday. You just got to try to win them one at a time. The old cliche applies. You got to focus on the Rams and nothing else, your record. And that's so hard to do.
I haven't asked you this, Rob.
That's difficult. That's impossible to do as a human. You're always looking at the big picture. And
are you watching New Orleans?
Yeah.
They're good.
That defense is really good.
Makes me sick.
Why don't we watch what they do and try to duplicate it?
All right. Hey, Atlanta Falcon fans, tune in to 92.9 The Game 2 hours before every Falcon game for the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. Harry Douglas, Paul Crane, as they preview Falcons, the upcoming matchup, guys. Countdown to Kickoff brought to you by Bud Light. Brewed for the Dirty Birds. We'll talk to our man, Mike Conti, in case you missed it, next.
Busy.
Oh, busy.
Busy.
What? I'm very busy right now.
Hey, man.
It's time now for In Case You Missed It with Mike Conti.
News for you.
Brought to you by Resurgence Orthopedics. From neck to toes, muscle to bones, get moving again with Resurgence Orthopedics. Schedule your appointment online today at resurgence.com.
Coming up, top three at 6 in less than 15 minutes. Also, a conversation with one of the best college football analysts out there. Right now, though, we say good afternoon to our man, Mike Conti, in case you missed it. What's going on, Mike?
Well, I got good news for you. If you want to buy Tom Brady's house, because, you know, they put it up for sale in August.
Is this the one up in the Boston area?
Yes, although according to the story I'm reading here from TMZ.
Section 8 housing, I'm sure.
No. the TMZ author must not be a good expert in geography. He says the home is located in the New England area. So, yeah, I hear New England's only a couple miles away from Boston, yeah. So it might be a couple miles from, you know, Worcester or whatever. Anyhow, yeah, so this is the one. He put it up for sale in August for $39.5 million.
Wow.
And I guess he's not getting much action. He has dropped the price $5.6 million. So now you can get it for the low, low price of $33.9 million.
But wait, there's more.
Well, yeah, no, there is more, Rob. You're right. It's got a wine room. It's got a spa, a rec room, a gym, an outdoor organic herb and vegetable garden.
Wow.
Wow.
So they grow their own stuff.
I am not surprised
at all. A moat?
I mean,
like the one in California?
A moat.
They do have a moat in their house in California.
Are there alligators in the moat or eels or anything like that? Do they have aggressive sea life patrolling the moat? Now, this is a home. This is crazy. They bought the land for the home in 2013 for $4.5 million. Okay? So they're selling it, even after this price cut, for almost $34 million. I don't know how much they spent on the actual home itself.
Right, right.
Going to guess probably less than, you know, $20 million, seeing as how you can build a basketball arena and some small colleges for that.
Well, Giselle's wallet's very, very deep.
Well, it is. Yeah. I mean, they are a power couple. She's very rich. He's very wealthy. So, bottom line, he's going to make money on this no matter how far he cuts the price.
No doubt. And I'm curious, you know, I guess they probably should do this up there, and maybe they are in Boston.
Is that a sign this is his last year?
Well, I was going to say.
He says no, by the way. He has said no.
By putting the house up?
Yes.
Because that was my thing, Mike. Will the house sell before his career is up in New England?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, I mean, and when the house was put up for sale, that was the speculation. Of course, he was asked about it. Hey, you're selling your home. Are you retiring or leaving town? He said, you absolutely should not read anything into this. So there you go. But it is a lovely home. Well, that wine room looks beautiful, as a matter of fact.
It's probably bigger than most people's houses, the wine room.
Well, the problem is the HOA fee. Oh, I mean, you're talking about probably north of like $700 or $800 a month on the HOA dues.
That's the deal breaker for you right there,
Mike. Yeah, I hear that HOA is a real stickler for, like, you know, keeping your yard cut and having your garbage cans brought in on time and everything.
I think that's going to be our game winner. What would you put in your dream house?
Oh, I thought.
Ooh, nice.
I thought it was, what kind of revenge are you plotting against your HOA?
Because HOAs can be tough, man.
Some are great.
Can be tough.
Some are
awful. We got a lot of power-hungry retirees who run that thing, and that's their identity.
No question about it.
Their main purpose in life.
All right, so you know when you rent a car, and say you're traveling with your wife or a significant other or something like that, you rent a car, they always ask you at the counter, do you want to put any authorized users
on your car?
The rental?
Yeah.
It's going to cost you, I think, like $20 a day or something like that. You always say no, right? Yeah. You don't want to pay that $20 a day. And when are they ever going to find out when you give the keys to your wife or, you know, whoever is traveling with you? Well, Odell Beckham Jr., I guess, has found out the hard way.
Oh, dear.
That if you don't put an authorized user on the rental, you're going to have a problem. So I guess 2 years ago, he rented something called a BMW 650 XG. I'm not aware of a 650. I've heard of like
convertible, the convertible one?
Maybe.
Didn't they used to go up to 750, the
in
the day?
Right. They still do. Mm. Like, I've heard of the 550 and the 328 and the 320
let me see
and all
right
that.
Now. 650 what? I?
650 XG.
Okay.
The X is for extra, I'm assuming. And the G is for G. I don't know. Worth $103,000.
I put it in Google and his face pops up.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Beckham. So here's why. So in October 2017, he rents this BMW from something called Celebrity Motors. He told them he was the only guy who was going to drive the car. One night, he gives the keys to a buddy of his, and the buddy wrecks the car in the Lincoln Tunnel. Well, actually exiting the tunnel, he tried to do one of those things where he would cut across five lanes of traffic to get off at Hoboken, and, well, there was another car there. So I guess he damaged the car to the tune of $38,000. Now, the insurance company is going after Odell Beckham because he did not put the guy, Blake Anderson,
they have
on
a case.
The rental. Yes. This is probably going to go to a settlement, one would think, right?
Indeed.
The amazing thing is, think about this. Like, we joke about Tom Brady's HOA fee. Can you imagine damaging a car to the tune of $38,000 and it's not totaled? Really think about that.
I've been at this radio station 7 years. I haven't made that much money.
Well, I mean, that being said, I mean, who goes to the auto body shop and gets a repair bill for $38,000?
Yeah. Hey, no Bob, one. How much is it going to cost me?
Right.
38.
Oh, I can do that. 3,800? Nope, 38,000.
All right, have you been following this controversy with the Taylor Swift banner at Staples Center? Have you guys been talking about this?
Yeah, they hung the banner for consecutive sold-out shows, kind of like widespread panic.
Widespread has it here. Yeah, Billy Joel has it at Madison Square Garden.
How many times did she sell it out?
That's the thing. The banner doesn't even say.
Okay.
It just says Taylor Swift, most sold-out performances. I, for one, am an opponent of musical acts getting banners in sports arenas. I think the banner should be reserved for accomplishments by the team, but, you know, this is the thing that they do now. So fans of the Los Angeles Kings, I guess, have been very, very upset that the Taylor Swift banner hangs next to, like, the LA Kings Stanley Cup banners and Campbell Conference banners. I agree. So the Kings are listening to their fans. They are now covering up the banners.
Oh.
Before every home game at Staples Center. But then when the Clippers go in there and play, they uncover the banners.
Well, because the Clippers don't have any banners.
Never thought of it that way, but that is actually true. So this is the thing they do at Staples Center, I guess. Depending on who has the building, they'll cover up banners. Like when the Clippers are playing at Staples, they'll cover the Lakers banners. When the Lakers are playing at Staples, they don't have to cover anything because they're the only ones who have banners. Well, I'm sorry, the LA Sparks have banners in there as well. The president of Staples Center says the decision to cover the banner was solely that of the Kings and that the arena is not going to take down the banner entirely. They're just gonna
Are they being accused of committing toxic masculinity because of that? That's the question.
So far, no. But these are early days, Rob.
Just wait.
Just wait. Many people tend to get offended over many different things.
Yeah, the patriarchy running amok.
These are very, very early. I like Taylor Swift. I had no idea. I mean, now, the Staples Center, let's think about this for a second. The Staples Center's been open for, 15 years? Probably more than that, right? Close to 20 years now? You're telling me Taylor Swift has sold out that building more than, say, I don't know, Aerosmith?
Right.
Or the Rolling Stones? I mean, think of all the acts that run through L.A., Taylor Swift is the one who sold that building out the most? I'm actually shocked by that.
I am too. She's a huge mega star, though.
She
is? Know, whether you enjoy the music or not, it appeals to a lot of folks. And
I don't, but I go to the concerts. Hot moms, my friend.
Thank you, Rob Tribble. I would tell you, you're not lying. I would tell you, though, that she is the biggest pop star in the world right now.
Currently?
Would you say that? She's the biggest pop star?
Yeah, she'd be in the top three if she's not number one.
I think so. Yeah. She's still, still doing it.
I like that Lizzo, though.
How can you not?
Yeah.
How can you not?
I'm a big fan of that Lizzo.
Yeah, she's tight.
She would be my number one right now.
And I get why. She puts it down, doesn't she?
She does, and she's not afraid to express herself in many different ways.
Low self-esteem daddy issues. Hot, hot, hot.
I don't think we're thinking the same person. Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure we're thinking
of the same person.
Yeah, this Lizzo puts the singing single, right?
Yes, that's her.
Yeah.
And she's got a couple hits right now. She performed at Music Midtown.
Yeah, my daughter likes her.
Yeah, she's great. She's terrific.
She killed it. I want to say it was, you probably saw this, Conti. Maybe it was the MTV Awards, one of those award shows. And the performance was just great. I mean, she is, she's doing her thing.
She's very recognizable.
Yes, she is.
She has very recognizable attributes. But I'm a big, big fan of that Lizzo. But, yes, Taylor Swift would absolutely have to be in the top three. I'm just shocked that she would be number one at Staples Center. L.A., L.A. gets all the concerts.
Yes. Yeah,
we're going on this world tour, but we don't have to go to that little town, L.A., because, we'll hit, Santa Barbara, and we'll hit Palm Springs. No, L.A. gets everything.
That's when Boston canceled Spinal Tap's gig, and their manager said, don't worry about Boston's not a big college town anyway.
Spinal Tap. Man, oh, man. I'll tell you, one of the funniest episodes all time of The Simpsons was based on Spinal Tap. Remember? Going to Springfield, and there was a riot at the concert. Bart and Milhouse got caught up in it.
By the way, speaking of that, it's Mike Conti in case you missed it. Sunday after the Falcon game, you watch the post stuff. It's just on, and the TV was on. And The Simpsons came on.
Yeah.
And it took
it's
me
still
back.
On.
I know. And
they are still on.
That theme, The Simpsons. Yeah. And I had to do a double take. I don't know when last time I watched it. 32
years they've been on?
Yes.
Feels like it. Now, it's not like the crudely hand-drawn Simpsons anymore like it was when they were on the Tracy Ullman show.
That's right.
It looks like it's computer-generated now. So it's kind of lost its... its heart a little bit.
I guess what I was going to – I didn't watch, but is it still funny? I mean, I know it's still on.
Listen, I'm a big, big Simpsons fan.
Oh, man.
You're going to be hard-pressed to find anyone at this radio station that loves The Simpsons more than I.
How old is Maggie now, by the way?
Still 18 months.
Just doesn't grow.
But I'm going to tell you something. That show has not been funny since 1997.
Oh,
okay.
It's been a long time. But they're hanging on, so they're obviously doing something right.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Anyways, I don't know. Maybe I was the only one that picked up on that. Maybe you watch The Simpsons. Mike Conti, great job. We will talk to you tomorrow, my friend. Hey, coming up top three at 6, we got a baseball game that's playing. We got one tonight and a team that we're all hoping loses because of what happened to us. We also have Dan Quinn talking about fixing things. It's all on the way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.